We are in the middle of studying why Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes and ears. Before we go into prayer, before we go into prayer, I thought this was kind of cute. This is the answering machine at the mental hospital. Give me a little volume, please, so I can get it back. Thank you. So here's the answering machine. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, please ask someone to press 2 for you. Bring it down a little bit. Just a little bit. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know who you are and what you want. Stay on the line so we can trace your call. If you are delusional, press 7, and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully, and a small voice will tell you what number to press. If you are manic depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one's going to answer anyway. If you are dyslexic, press 9696969696969696. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the pass key until the representative comes on the line. If you have amnesia, press 8, state your name, address, telephone number, date of birth, social security, number of your and your mother's maiden name. If you have post-traumatic stress disorder, slowly and carefully press 000. If you have bipolar disorder, please leave a message after the beep, or before the beep, or after the beep, or during the beep. Please wait for the beep. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have short-term memory loss, press 9. If you have low self-esteem, please hang up. All operators are too busy to talk with you anyway. This is good. This is the last one. If you are a blonde, don't press any buttons. You'll just screw up everything. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to our study and what we're looking at and why Christians do experience stress, anxiety, and depression. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in our study of Revelation, you, as the sovereign, omnipotent God, the eternal, existing one, Heavenly Father, you tell us what is going to happen at the end of time. And we believe it. It is so important, Father, as we examine Scripture and we look at our lives today and the things that bring stress in our soul and our marriages and anxiety and even depression. We look into your Scripture and find out what you would have us to see, Heavenly Father, and believe it, because it is the same God who tells us both. So we trust you, Heavenly Father, in regard to eternal things. We trust you in regard to the things, Heavenly Father, that will occur at the end of time of man. And we trust you now in regard to what your Scriptures say in regard to our lives today. Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that we ought to see. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. There's a lot of trouble going on throughout the whole world. A lot of these battles that are going on in many countries are religious-oriented. There's a great number of people this very day being killed, all in the concept and under the banner of religion. There are a great number of racial wars, battles going on around the world. There are all kinds of killings and slaughterings going on that don't even reach the paper. Listening to news on an FM station in Dallas today and talking about some 400 natives in black Africa and in little bitty countries in Africa who just went in and slaughtered another village and had nothing to do with race because they were the same race, just different tribes. We know what's going on in Ireland between the Protestants and the Catholics. We know what's going on with the terrorist activity. And yet, here in America, there are a multitude of born-again believers, Christians, who are miserable in their marriages, miserable in their lives, and they experience a great deal of stress, a great deal of depression. It would be shocking if some way we knew just how many Christians take drugs, prescription and non-prescription drugs, to calm themselves down with their depression and their stress, their anxiety. We are going to have a study in this flow of our study, and not tonight. I don't want to do it tonight because I want to build on it. But it's very interesting how so many Christians, when you have stress, depression, and anxiety in your life, you have to make a decision, where am I going to go? What is the cause of distress? And once you decide the cause of the distress, that's where you're going to go to get it resolved. And I don't have any kind of statistics, but a great number of Christians have decided that it must be something related to the body, so I've got to go to a doctor. It must be related to something that it can't be related to the spiritual. It can't be related to God. It's got to be related to the physical world, and so I've got to go to a doctor. When we examine the scriptures, we're going to find out that is not the case. Many believers suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression, and live therefore a sad life, SAD, because of our flesh nature that we have been studying and looking at and what God is going to do about the flesh nature. But because of the flesh nature, we can be beaten down. We can be beaten down by failure, by sin, and we can be beaten down by believers. Job's three friends kept attacking. They believers like to judge, and we need to stop sometime, not tonight, and examine carefully just what people, what Christians can do to one another. This is why Christ made the commandment to love one another. But it is amazing what we can do. Now, I'm not going to study this, but I'll refer to it occasionally, and so that both you here and on tape will be aware of what I'm saying. Look at Job 19. This needs to at least be on record before we get to look at it. So let's look at Job 19, and all I want to do is read so that when I refer to this, you'll know exactly where it is in the Bible. But Job 19 is a very interesting study that we will do in our study of sad or stress, anxiety, and depression. And what I would like to do is just read quickly the first six verses. We're not going to study it tonight, but I do refer to it and will refer to it. And so we need to have it charted and put down in the notes of where we are. Then Job responded, and he's responding to his three so-called friends. How long will you, my friends, torment me? Only the Hebrew says, my soul. Torment my soul. And I want to study the word torment. That's our concept of stress, anxiety, and depression. And crush my soul with words. Believer, you just don't know how you hurt one another in marriage, in families, in friendships, what we do with each other or to each other, why Jesus Christ made the new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. But this is what we do to one another, and crush my soul with words. Now it says these 10 times, and we'll have to look at why 10 when we come there. I want to spend time on torment and crush. In fact, I want to spend some time, as we go continue in this class, after I lay the foundation, which we're in the midst of doing now, we're going to just start zeroing in on a lot of passages in the Bible that deal with stress and depression. I was just startled at how many words there are that deal with this, and here's two for you right here. torment of the soul and crushing of the soul is part of our study of stress and depression. These 10 times you have insulted me, and we'll have to study that. You have insulted me, and look what it says. You are not ashamed to wrong me. Quite the contrary, they're very proud of it. Christians love to insult and hurt and shame others. Even if I have truly sinned, my sin lodges with me. If indeed you exalt yourselves against me and prove my disgrace to me, and that's what Christians like to do, know then that God has wronged me and has closed his net around me. And we'll have to find out where he is when he says that, because Job is failing the whole issue that God has taken him through, and he's doing that for a very purpose. But point is, many believers are attacked, judged, and rejected by other believers. And I'm going to talk about significant other believers. Wives by their husbands, husbands by their wives, children by their parents, friends by their friends. I'm talking intimate relationships. Many believers are attacked, judged, maligned, rejected by others, separated, blamed, always reminding you that you are no good. And whether you understand this or not, Christians love doing this to one another. It makes them feel better about themselves. It makes them feel pure if they can really cause a believer to just be put down. It gives them security. Now, put this in your soul and in your thinking. They do this, now here it is, because they do not believe what God says about them. They do not believe what God says who they are in Jesus Christ. Not only do they not believe what God says about who you are, they don't even believe about themselves. And that's why they've got to attack one another. Once a believer begins to understand who he is in Jesus Christ, he doesn't have to attack. He already knows and is very content with his position and his relationship with the Lord, and therefore finds it to his encouragement to restore one another, encourage one another. But all our believers love to attack, name call, put down, insult, ridicule. Just little snipes in a lot of marriages. Just little quick bites all the time. That's why Paul uses the word in Galatians 5, you bite one another. Just little sarcastic remarks that involve the spiritual, the physical, the person's ability, all these types of things. It's amazing how many parents will do this to their children, how many people will go through their life doing this to one another. And we want to understand the reason a Christian does this is, one, they do not believe what the Bible, what God says, who they are in Christ. So they beat you down, and when you have been beaten down enough, then you start thinking, I can't change. I can't stop this. I'm just no good. And many believers at this point want to just, and many do, just quit. They become hopeless, in despair. Many go to suicide, drugs, just drop out. And these other believers are happy. Listen to this, how this works. They're happy now because it confirms that they were right. See, they can walk out. We were right. The guy really is a loser. The guy's no good. Not realizing what you have done to that person's soul. What you've done to your children's soul, your husband, your wife, your friend, somebody in the church, somebody in life. But we've always got to, in some subtle way, name calling, whatever it is, hurt one another. Take you down in despair. But I want to tell you that this can be broken, and that's what we're going to see in this study. This can be broken at any point. That is what we're going to study. That's what I want to coach you to do. We have a lot of things to go through. But what to wake up and show us how God has set you free. And it all begins when you say, I'm going to believe what God says about me, not what my friends say about me. I'm going to believe what God says about me. I'm going to believe about what Christ did on the cross. We're moving into the Easter time, and many Christians love to talk about the cross, but they love to live by the law. And therefore, what happened at the cross is not validated in their own lives in the way they deal with one another. But once you begin to say, I'm going to claim the life that is mine in Christ and do this by faith in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to live and be who I am in Christ, whether I see it or not, whether I experience it or not, I'm going to believe what God says about me is true. And when we do that, what happens? That's when God takes over. The moment you say, I'm going to stop believing all this stuff my friends are saying and everybody else, I'm going to believe what God says about me and start trusting in the Spirit, that's when God takes over. That's when the Holy Spirit starts working in you. Our part is simply to believe what God says about us. And that brings us to where we left off last week, where, let's just quickly go through the things that we saw last week. What does God do with this flesh nature that causes this sin, that causes these things about us? What does God do about our flesh nature? He creates us a new heart, a new spiritual creation. People, He does not try to improve, or try, forget that word. God does not make you a better person. God is not going to work with this flesh nature to try to improve it and make it better. What God is going to do, He's going to start all over with your second birth when you believe in Christ. He creates you a new heart. Then we saw very quickly, just reviewing, we saw, why does God create us a new heart? Why does God do it? Why would He even do that? We know that's what He does, because He's not going to work with the old heart, our old nature. He's going to build a new one now, create a new one. But we ask the question, why does God do that? The reason that God does that is because God has a plan. God has a plan for your life, not just in eternity, but every day. Every day in your life, He has a plan for you. To the degree that you have a plan for your life, to that degree, you're going to have stress, anxiety, and depression in your soul. To the degree you have a plan about your life, people, and I use silly examples, and I could have used hundreds of them, we have a plan, and we don't want to overreact and say, well, that means we don't even make a plan for the day, but when you have a plan that you're going to hold on to that degree, you're going to have stress. It gets blocked up even just driving to work. It gets blocked up because somebody else needs help. It gets blocked up because something isn't working, and you become exasperated. Anxiety sets in. Stress. Depression. Why? Because you had a plan, and you weren't willing to go with God's plan. Then we saw that to the degree you walk in God's plan, simply by faith, that God has a plan for me today, I'm going to walk through this day and be in God's plan. To that degree that you are in God's plan, you decrease stress, anxiety, and depression in your soul. To the degree. A lot of Christians have studied the plan of God, but it doesn't help them out because they don't understand how it's related to their everyday life. It is not our past experiences in the flesh, things that happened when we were children, things that happened in our marriage. It is not our experiences that cause stress, anxiety, and depression. The real problem is our interpretation of these experiences in our life. Your God is too big. People say, well, right now we're dealing with a lot of problems, and it's in a lot of other areas, but it just is in the headlines right now. What's going on in Boston with the Roman Catholic Church, but not just Boston, all across the country, it's coming out more and more of priests who molested little boys, and all these boys are damaged for life, and they'll never recover. Yeah. People, that's a view of God then. What you're saying is, my God is not big enough that He can't just come in and take care of a person's soul, regardless of the past experiences, and move on. What happens is, in the Roman Catholic Church, confession is a very important and a vital issue. A lot of Protestants have picked it up to make it something that it is not in the Bible. It is not in 1 John 1:9, something that is what the Roman Church has made it and what a lot of people have made it. But one of the great problems is that confession becomes a great part, and these people are trying to confess things, and they have nothing to confess because they didn't commit the sin. But they have now taken upon themselves that they are dirty, unclean, and this happened because of something about them, and they're trying hard to confess what is they're not even there to confess. 1 John 1:9 isn't going to help them at all. It isn't going to help them at all. So we have to see the problems and how we compound the problems when we try to find the solution, and we have to find the solutions that God has set up for us. Now, let's look, continue looking tonight at what God does with that old nature. Please turn to Romans chapter 6, where we left off, and we spent 2 weeks on it, so I've got to work through this because there's so many passages I do want to look at, and I realize I can't take this much time on each one, even though it is vital. People, I'm concerned with the number of Christians that experience stress to the point they go to doctors and drugs and alcohol and problems in their marriage and sexual relationships between husband and wives are in a decline, and everybody's got to have something to help them sexually, help them make it through the day, help them be happy, help them sleep, help them wake up. You take one type of thing to help you go to sleep. You got another type of drug or medicine to help you wake up. You got another one that you take to do this. You got another one that you help to do that. Another one helps to have sex. Another one helps you this. All of these things. God has something else for you. And let's find out what God has in store. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this. Now, we have gotten this far. We spent some time on the word knowing. And that is, right again, there's one of the great problems for a lot of people. For some people, I've always thought that's easy. Okay, know this. I teach it. You know it. Boom. But I've discovered that for a lot of people, that's very difficult to know this because they don't know it and they have a block in knowing it, and we spend some time on studying that. The word this means this truth, introduced by that. All right, we have experienced something. We have been changed. Our old nature has been crucified with Christ. When we made a faith decision in Jesus Christ, we were changed. We were created a new spiritual creation. Our old nature died. But we do not experience this experientially. This is not experiential knowledge. We desire to start having this become real. We desire for this to become something experiential in our lives. And it will, if we understand Galatians chapter 5, the hope of righteousness, the confidence that it will occur. But we don't have this experientially. And there are people who put another stress, anxiety and depression, and real depression on Christians, all this lordship, salvation, evil. Oh, well, if you really accepted Christ, your whole life will change immediately. Oh, you've got to have all these changes, brother, you're not really saved. People, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. That is the lie. We've been dealing with Satan's lie. Paul tells you that's a lie. We studied it. Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. Then people, MacArthur and everybody else have to say, Paul is not saved. And he's saved. He's very much saved. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to set me free? We wanted to experience it experientially. But look what he's just saying. Know this. You're not going to know it experientially by your life for a while. In some cases, quite a while. In some cases, a little sooner. A lot of variables. And Satan is going to do all he can, people, that you do not come to the realization of who you are in Christ. Please be aware of that. Satan is going to do all he can with the network. We talked about Satan's network in this study. And Satan has a network that is going to keep you, to stop you from realizing who you are in Christ. He does not want you to know this experientially. He does not want you to believe it and live it. And he has a network to work against you. And part of that network is other believers who always will remind you, see, you're no good. See, you're done. See, you're really a sinner. See, you're really bad. See your traits of sin. See how bad you are. convince you that what the Scriptures say is not true. And Christians love to do that with Christians. God help us. And we put stress. I'll show you another word for our study of what the Corinthian believers were doing to the believer caught in incest. What they were doing to his soul in 2 Corinthians, but we'll say that. But there's just so many things that we do to one another instead of encouraging that just bring more and more stress. And it's all doing Satan's work. It's doing Satan's work. When you see a believer or know a believer in sin, Galatians chapter 6, you see a believer, you catch a believer in sin. And boy, you say, aha, see there, you're just a loser. You're no good. You don't deserve to be serving God. You can't serve God. And on and on and on. Bringing, continuing to add the stress and the depression of the flesh self instead of doing what Galatians 6 says to restore such a one. So he's got all of these things. And then, of course, there's your own flesh nature telling you you're horrible and you're no good and you're a loser and you're inadequate and you're not worthy of love. So you've got your own flesh nature. Got all of Satan's network. You got your Christian friends working against you. You got the world system working against you. The only thing you have working for you, hopefully, you'll run into a Christian who understands walking by faith in the Spirit and the new commandment of loving one another, who will encourage you in Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, once you start learning to walk in His Spirit. But all of these things are working against this one word, knowing. Knowing. Knowing this, the demonstrative pronoun here refers to the truth that he's going to talk about. Knowing this truth. Have this to become the experience of truth as far as your life is concerned. This has happened to you. Now we want it to become experientially reality in our soul. The objective, the goal by God in crucifying our old nature, that is with the big five problems that we have studied, is to realize and experience our new life. The reason for, we'll see this Sunday morning in our Easter study, what's the reason of the resurrection? People, the whole reason of the resurrection is so that we will not experience stress, anxiety, and depression, so that we can be who we are in Jesus Christ. Go back in Romans chapter 6 now, and let me just go back up a few verses. Here we're looking at verse 6, but let's read verse 4 and 5. Put this in mind now. Therefore, we have been buried with Him. Now, you bury somebody who's dead. We have been buried with Him through baptism, not water baptism, people. It's a baptism of the Spirit. Through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. That's the objective and goal. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, or really since we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. And this is something that we can experience in our lives once we learn to believe who we are in Christ and then live who we are in Christ. Now verse 6, know it. Know it. That takes us back to the study that we started off in our study, as a man thinketh, so he is. What's your thought process? Think of yourself as that old nature, and that's how you're going to live, people. Think of yourself as who you are in Christ, that's how you're going to live. It's up to you. It's up to you. Okay, knowing this, now what are we going to know? That our old self was crucified with Him. With whom? Jesus Christ. All right, let's take a look. Old self. All right, this is Paul going through the things now that we have studied. We've got different words for it. In our study of the big five, we saw in the flesh self, this old self. It's been called the old nature. It's been called the heart. A lot of things we've seen already. It's desperate. It is what? It is continually being corrupted in Ephesians. Then we saw that it is deceitful above all else. And we'll have to come back to a lot of these. It is incurably wounded, it is insane, and it is full of evil. We studied five things about your flesh nature, and you want to know why you do crazy things. Well, your flesh nature is that in its makeup. So this is our very makeup. Now, knowing this, that the old self, is used by Paul in referring to our existence prior to faith in Christ. This is a term used by Paul in describing our existence prior to faith in Christ. We have to slow down here. We have to slow down in our study, because this is the source of a great deal of our problems that are going to lead to stress, anxiety, and depression in our lives. Let's get to the source of stress, anxiety, and depression in our lives, and we can put an end to it. This is what we have been studying, the old self, the old nature. Continually corrupted, being is deceitful, incurably wounded, full of evil, insane, the big five, the number of man. All right, let's look at the word old. The Greek word for old here, what had existed formerly? What had existed formerly? Okay, former to what? Here's where you were physically born. Here's your physical birth. At your physical birth, you came out of your mother's womb and God breathed into you the breath of life. This is your flesh nature that came alive. Flesh nature. You were spiritually dead, but humanly and your soul alive. This is your flesh nature. This is the old nature. Now, this is old. He calls it old here, referring to what existed formerly. All right, you go down the way here in life, and with all of us, it's different ages. I was very young when I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Other people are different ages, some in their teens, some in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. It doesn't matter when. But you go down the line, and somewhere along the line, you accept Jesus Christ as Savior by faith only and by faith alone. At that point, this nature that's been with you all these years, so let's just pick a 30-year-old. Here's a 30-year-old who's become pretty familiar with his flesh nature, learns how to handle it, learns how to satisfy it, learns how to get its way by controlling others or whatever. And so all of a sudden, this is the old nature now. It existed prior, because now you're going to have a new nature, a new heart. God doesn't give you a triple bypass. He gives you a complete heart transplant, a new heart. So what has formerly existed, what is in long standing, here referring to what we formerly were from our first birth, what is formerly were. The Greek word for old here refers to old in use, and therefore now useless, now worn out, fit only to be discarded, fit only to be scrapped, like the Mosaic Law. So here's the new nature now, so the old nature is done away with. Now we have the word self, the old self. All these are important to our study. It's why I'm taking time here, so that you get to know yourself. We're going to talk about self-image. We're going to talk about self-deception and how all of that relates into this whole thing of stress, anxiety, and depression, if not to yourself, to those around you. All right. So we got now the old self. The word for self is actually the word anthropos. A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-S, anthropos. So we could translate this old man. Old self or old man. Now, anthropos is a generic name. I'm giving this to you because it's important to our study. If you're hurting with stress, these are the things you want to come to be aware of. It's a generic name in distinction from God and animals. It is used to mark distinction between that old self whose nature is opposed to God and our new nature. See, you hear what I said? This is the old nature, the old man, who is in opposition with God, as opposed to this new heart that you have that desires to be in harmony with God. And anthropos is a good word to show that distinction. You desire to be free people, of stress and depression in your life, free of your experiences that brought on pain, and be free of this pain? Well, what we're going to have to do is move to this point, and it's what I want to help you do, is to know who you are, who you really are in Christ. Stress comes from living in the unreal world. Stress comes from living in who you are not, when with unreal goals, unreal rules, unreal things that upset you, cause distress. You live in the unreal world. You do not live in the real world. And many Christians, just going to the triangle, many Christians live in what we've come to see as the sin triangle. And if you live in the sin triangle, your whole idea deals with the justice of God. And oh, how you fear, and you've got to fear the justice of God. And then it deals with the law, and it deals with works. See? Deals with performance, man's performance. Sin is man's performance, so I've got to perform so God won't be mad at me for that. And I pray to the justice of God and go to the law. It's a vicious circle and it's unreal. And it causes stress. Satan's lie is over here. What is Satan's lie? My self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me, specifically certain other people's opinion of me. They crush your soul because of Satan's lie. And all of this is living in the unreal world. People, when you live in the flesh, let me just tell you something. You're living a lie. That's not who you are. And you want to know why there's stress? Because you're living who you are not. That is not who you are. So when you find yourself going into through the flesh, acting in the flesh, speaking in the flesh, thinking in the flesh, just know something, that's a lie. And when you live a lie, you're going to come under stress. You're going to come under pressure. Depression. Because that's not reality. That's not who you are. So we want to see who we are in Christ so that we get rid of this. Once you begin to see who you are in Christ, and as you slowly start living in the reality of who you are in Christ, and it's slow, then things start happening in your life. Stress, anxiety, and depression start declining in your life. You start fitting into God's plan. You start seeing who and what you are in Christ, and you start setting your goals to the things above, which is where we started in Colossians in this study. And as you do that, things related to this earth just don't bother you anymore. It's only when we care about things in the flesh that the things of the flesh bother us and cause this kind of stress in our soul. Can this be done? Absolutely. And there are Christians experiencing this in their lives. Christ has set you free, people. The Holy Spirit makes you free experientially in your life. If you walk in the Spirit by faith, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. What does liberty mean? You're free of stress. You're free of anxiety. You're free of depression. Why? Because you're free of the source of it. You're no longer living in the flesh. No longer living in that realm. The old self or the old man is a good designation, for it relates us back to the common humanness that is worn out, stressed out by the bondage to the law. This is where those passages in Isaiah 28 talk about becoming weary, broken. All these things that start happening to people because we want to live by the law. And it just causes all this stress. And it started in the garden. When Adam and Eve had a choice to go to the tree of life or to the fig tree, which is man's tree, man's performance, man's going to work to make himself right with God. We go to that realm, people, it's just going to bring more and more stress in our life. So the old man is a good designation. It relates us back to the common humanness that is worn out, stressed out by bondage to law, from which we want to be free, both in reality and experientially. If you are a Christian listening to this tape, listening to this message, you are free. You are free. Now, whether you are experiencing that or not is what we want to do in getting rid of stress in your soul so that we can experience who and what we really are. And no matter your experience in the old man throughout your life, its burden has been broken. It has been broken by being crucified with Christ. It has been broken by your identification with the death of Christ. People, you are free. You do not need to experience this. You do not have to wait. We saw this 2 weeks ago. You do not have to wait for your husband or your wife or your parents or your children to get straightened out. That's what a lot of people think and claim. Well, I can't live the Christian life until my husband or my wife gets straightened out. They're the cause of my stress. They're the cause of my anxiety. They're the cause of all my depression. They are the cause, and until they get straightened out, nothing I can... That's your view of God, huh? God cannot work with you until He works with everybody else. No, people, that's not God. Remember, your view of God is essential all the way through. Stand back and think when you start to blame others. You want to blame others, just stop and think a minute. Is that my view of God? Or can God cause me to be free of all of this stuff, this stress, this depression and all of that, regardless of what my husband does, my wife does, my children, my parents, my boss, anybody? Is God big enough to do that? How big is your God? How big is your relationship? How powerful is the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit who is inside of you limited to working with you by those that are very close to you? No, He's not. You have been set free personally, and you can go on and live. Now, we'll say this. The more that you... if I say this, this might cause you the wrong motivation. But the more you learn to walk in the Spirit, I want to tell you something, it's just going to make your husband or your wife madder. It's just going to infuriate them all the more. You're going to put more stress on them. The more you just relax and start walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you don't let them bring stress on you, you don't let them bring anxiety and depression on you, you don't let them start thinking of yourself as being unworthy and how horrible you are and all that. You just stop that! That's really going to upset them. Now, don't let that be your motivation to walk in the Spirit. But if that's your motivation, I guess I'll take it. Get in the Spirit. And then that'll go away. And you'll start praying for them. But I just want you to understand how big is our God. You're not confined by what others do. You are free, people. You are free. And we're going to study in this study and see how to experience this. Old self tells us something else. Old self tells us something else, very important. God does not improve our nature. God does not make us better. God does not change just the bad parts of us. Our whole nature is bad. Our whole nature is corrupt. God is going to make a radical change in our whole nature. This is the old self. He's not going to work with it. So old self is important. One, God does not just improve our nature. Two, God does not make our old self better. Three, God does not change just kind of parts of it, like the bad part. You have to accept the fact that our whole old nature is corrupt. Deceitful, full of evil. Next, God is going to make a radical change in our whole nature. We become an entirely new creation in Christ at the point of salvation faith, the faith in Jesus Christ. At the point of faith, that's all God is looking for, your faith. A little bitty faith, the size of the grain, the cedar or mustard seed. Just a little bit of faith. Not a whole lot of faith. Just a little bit of faith. Now, some of you know the Bible very well. Some don't. So I want you to be able to see this. We won't study it, but I have to show people where things are in the Bible so that you know what we're talking about. Let's open the Bible to 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're not familiar with the Bible, look it up in the table of contents. Second, it's why it's there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. There are a lot of people who know all the books of the Bible but have no idea in truth what's going on in them. And I'm talking about preachers and theologians. So don't be embarrassed by that. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. In fact, I say be happy because now you can start just seeing how the whole Bible is put together in truth. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man, that's you, Christ by faith, not by works, not by performance, not by repentance. We do have to repent, but that doesn't save you. Not by acknowledging that you need Christ. That doesn't save you. Not by walking an aisle, joining a church, making Him Lord, but by faith. Therefore, simple faith. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he, that man, is a new creation. The old things, now what's the old things? That's the old self. That's all the things that were associated with that old man. What does that refer to? Stress, anxiety, depression, goals. Things that cause the stress. The goals of the flesh. Having to control everybody. All these things. All these things have passed away. Behold, new things. New goals. New happiness have come. This is why, people, only faith is acceptable to God. Not our works. Everything else has just been destroyed. All ability that you had in the flesh is dead and unacceptable to God. Your whole person is changed. And this is where we want to live. When you're confined to the flesh, when you're bound to the flesh, which we are before Christ, this is the way you lived. And you had no choice in the matter. But now that you are a new spiritual creation, which we have right here, a new creature, in Christ, you now have a choice in the matter. Now you have a choice of living who you are in Christ, this new spiritual creature, or living in that old flesh. So we have the old self in contrast with the new self. So this is what Paul was talking about when we studied and read through Romans 7. We have inside of you that old self versus the new you. The new creation, your new heart, who you are in Christ. And you get to decide. And what's our deciding factor? Faith. Are you going to trust the Holy Spirit or not? If you walk in the Holy Spirit, boom, new man. If you choose not to, you choose to do for God, if you're going to be religious, do for God, perform for God, confess for God, repent for God, feel sorry for God. What I mean by that is so that God will do something in your life. It's dead. It's not based on performance. You can always tell things that are based on performance. You've got to get more of it. Did you do enough? Did you get enough? Did you repent enough? Did you feel sorry enough? Did you confess enough? Did you do this enough? Did you do that enough? See, faith is always the same standard of measurement, a grain of mustard seed. Did you just trust Him? And when we do, He changes us. Look at Ephesians 4:24 very quickly. We're not examining these tonight. I just want people familiar with so that when I mention them, you now have them in your notes. Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians 4:24. And put on the new self. There it is again. People, you're just the whole new you in Christ. It's real. This is reality. And the more we just learn to walk in this new person, there's just no stress. People can't do it to you. You live in this new person. And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You do nothing to take care of the old self. You do nothing to bring about the new self. This is what God does. He created it. He puts you on. See that word put on? That's not an imperative. It's translated like an imperative, but it's not an imperative. It's an aorist infinitive. Should be something, even though it's an infinitive, having put on. Have put on. Poor English here, but it gets the idea of the aorist tense. This happens at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. God sets you free. And He does it freely and graciously. Out of His love, He frees you. He sets you free of the pain of stress, anxiety, and depression of the old self. He sets you free of all the pain of the experiences of the old self and creates a new heart in you. And what we want to do is learn how to move into that person and live in that person. See the word created? In Ephesians 4, it's an aorist passive participle. Radical change. Remember when we studied, looked at Jeremiah? Radical change. It can't be just fixing it up. This isn't a matter of fixing it up. It's a radical change. A spiritual creation. Regeneration is the theological word for here. Renewal in righteousness and the holiness. And you see that word of the truth? That's of the truth of who God is. Now, but I don't feel that. So it must not have happened to me. I'm not experiencing this righteousness and holiness. In fact, I feel very dirty. In fact, I sin. So it must not have happened to me. See, that's what I mean. You haven't experienced it. And so you do this to yourself because the flesh nature wants to. Your friends are going to convince you of that. You're not really saved. You're not really changed. Satan's going to do his part. The flesh is going to do his part. Friends are going to do their part. People, you have a network working against the seeing who you are in Christ. That's why very few Christians ever get to this point of just walking by faith in the Spirit. We're working so hard at doing it. But what I want you to note here, the aorist passive participle, God does this. God, you receive this new self created, holy and righteous, but I don't experience that. No. And let me quickly tell you a little story. Those of you listening to tapes and here, something we studied in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, which I consider the most important book to properly understand. We did a series on it, on Galatians. I called it my basics introduction to understanding the Bible, the problem of the church. But there's something going on in Galatians and in Romans and in various passages in the Bible about a man named Abraham and his wife Sarah. Abraham was promised a son. Abraham started getting old, and Sarah was barren. They had lots of sex, and she couldn't get pregnant, wouldn't get pregnant. She was barren. So Abraham decided he was going to make... Now listen to me. I'm not just talking. I'm talking about stress, anxiety, and depression. I'm talking about experientially understanding being holy and righteous when you're not experientially experiencing that. I'm not. I'm sinning, and I'm trying, and it isn't happening, or I'm not trying, and I want to, and all this type of stuff that caused Paul to just blast out in stress, oh wretched man that I am. Well, this was what happened to Abraham. He became a little stressed out. Well, it's getting late. I'm getting old. Sarah's barren, and she's getting old, so I'm going to make the plan of God happen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go take Hagar as my wife by law. There's a passage in the Old Testament points this out. So he takes Hagar, and he goes in and has sex with Hagar, and lo and behold, Hagar gets pregnant, and lo and behold, she gives birth to a son. So everything looks good. Everything looks like Abraham made the plan of God work. It's a male child. The offspring is Abraham. God promised Abraham a male offspring. Ishmael's it. Until you see Isaac. And once you see Isaac, you know Ishmael's not it. Well, this is talked about in Galatians and in Romans. Now I want to ask you a question. Any Christian in the church age promised they're going to have a male child? No. Then why is that brought up? Why is that made such a big deal? Well, as we saw in Galatians, because this is what happens with a lot of Christians. Oh, I'm righteous and holy. See what it says? Created righteous and holy. Well, I'm not experiencing that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to make the plan of God happen. I'm going to live by law. We're going to control one another. We're going to have discipleship with one another. We're going to call each other up when we start to sin. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I am going to make myself righteous. I am going to make myself holy. And a large proportion of the body of Christ are so proud of their Ishmael life, of their religious life, and how wonderful they are. But they're not even close. I'm sorry. They're not even close to what's going on. Because once you see the righteous life that God gives, once you see what God gives, you can see the difference. But God's way isn't going to happen right away. Why all of this lordship, salvation, if you're not making the Lord, if your life changed, it's evil. It's not just a lie. It's an evil lie that's just hurt so many Christians and messed so many Christians up in their thinking. But it just doesn't line up with the Bible. Because the more you try to make it happen, people, the worst thing that can happen is that you, and this is what happens with a lot of churches and deacons and preachers, you do pretty good. You control it pretty good in the flesh. You look pretty clean, pretty wonderful. And to everybody, you're doing good. Like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a life without love. You're doing a great job. You're learning a lot of doctrine. You can speak in languages of angels. You give all that you possess. You can do all kinds of things, serve, all of this stuff. You give to where you're poor yourself. But if you don't have love, meaning the power of the Spirit, then nothing. But you can do all that stuff. So there are a lot of people, oh, see, if you're really a Christian, you're supposed to be this. So let's get down the law and let's make everybody live right. We're going to make the plan of God happen. And that's where stress, anxiety, and depression start setting in. I can't do this. And I wish we had time. I could take you through so many passages of believers and unbelievers who just ended up like Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, the reason a lot of people don't talk about that is because they're very satisfied with the wonderful life that they're living because they don't consider the mental attitude, sin of right self-righteousness and arrogance and pride and judging and maligning and slandering horrible sins before God, yet they are before God. So we can't make the plan of God happen. That's why Paul uses the expression in Galatians, the hope of righteousness. What's he talking about? Eternity? No. He's talking about right now. The confidence of righteousness. If I'll just be patient, walk slowly, just walk in the plan. If, you know, you might just hit it 60 seconds. When you first start, 60 seconds a day. Then a little while later, it's gone to two different times 60 seconds. Not even, not 120 seconds together, but two different times in the day. You really did it. And then pretty soon, you've got it strung together and you got 2 minutes together. My prayer is I pray that before leaving planet Earth, every Christian will walk in the Spirit of the living God by faith for 5 minutes. Five continual 5 minutes. And they're going to reap eternal rewards for that. But most Christians won't. I'm sorry. But if you go through all the stress and all the depression and trying to make it happen and all of this, it isn't, you're not going to do it because the flesh can't do it. But we read passages like this and say, oh, well, it should be. But note what it says. Look what it says. Look what it says. Created. God does it. God does it. God has been created. In other words, this new self that God has created. You don't do it. He does it. You want to start experiencing it in reality in your life? Then, people, that's what we're studying. Walking by faith, just trusting the Spirit to do this. Not having your plan, but getting with His plan. Being set free. So the aorist, participle, passive participle, it's a radical change that God has done. And again, while you may not feel this, this isn't true in your experiential life. And while your Christian friends assure you that you're not like Job's friends, and Satan does all he can to convince you you're not, and your own flesh convinces you you're not, this is the truth of the Holy Scriptures. This is what you have. Stay with me just for a moment. Colossians chapter 3. Keep going from Ephesians. Just go over a few more books. Got Philippians and then Colossians. One more little passage just to get this in your soul. Those of you that are listening to this study, so that you have a lot of these things under your belt. Okay, Colossians 3:10. We'll probably come back to some of these, so I'm sure we will. But I just want you to see Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to the true knowledge, according to biblical true knowledge, to the image of the one who created him. Okay. Have put on the new self. Now, this time, this is the same, by the way, this is the same Greek construction that in Ephesians 4 made it sound like an imperative. Put on, here it says, have put on. Now, this is a good way to get that aorist tense in there. Have put on. This is not something you do. This is something God does. The new self. Note that self is in italics in the New American Standard. The word for new is neos. And that means new in relationship to time. Goes back to that word old that we studied. That which has been recently come into existence. And how did this new self come into existence? By faith in Christ. being renewed. This is in you experientially, as the real change starts becoming experiential reality in your life. And that's what I want, because people, the more you start experiencing who you are in Christ, stress is going to be gone. You're going to find stress. Things that you used to get stressed out about and depressed about aren't going to stress you out and depress you. They're just not going to, because you put them in the proper perspective of being related to the earth, and who you are in Christ is eternal. And it's even going to shock you. It's even going to shock you. I had a woman, mother of two children, call this week, and you say it is already amazing to her what's happening in her soul. Things that just very recently would have just completely sent her in order. Just, okay, that's not eternity. That doesn't work. And she just, it's just blowing my mind. That's how you know when the Holy Spirit's doing it, when you start experiencing the absence of stress, anxiety, and depression, and you're not doing anything. All you're doing is trusting the Spirit. And lo and behold, boom. You say, you're not working hard at it. You're not going to the gym to get rid of stress. You're not taking pills to get rid of stress. You just, okay, that's not who I am in Christ. That's not eternity. And that's related to time. That's related to the flesh. And I'm just not going to go there. And you start seeing what God can do. To a true knowledge, biblical truth, that we have been noted last week in our study, understanding biblical truth. Just understanding the Bible, I can't say that, because a lot of people study the Bible and don't even begin to understand the truth of the gospel. This is understanding the truth. This brings us back to Romans chapter 6:6, and so we'll start right here next Wednesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Any questions over this? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, what a God you are, Heavenly Father. Father, the more we just sit back and relax and realize you've already taken care of everything, and all we have to do is trust you. We don't have to, Heavenly Father, try to figure it all out. All we have to do, Heavenly Father, is to take hold of what you provided. And we do that by faith. Father, I pray as we go through this study that your Spirit will open our eyes and open the eyes to those who struggle with stress tonight, who struggle with depression, who are Christians. I'm so sorry that they do, because, Heavenly Father, they don't have to. They really don't have to. It isn't because of their experiences. It isn't because of their present circumstances. No matter how discomforting they are, no matter how ill-treated they are by their husband, their wife, their parents, their children, their friends, other Christians, they don't have to experience that. And I pray, Father, those that grab hold of this study and slowly start walking, becoming who they are in Christ, the joy that they will understand and see and experience as depression starts leaving, the frustration of life is taken away, they become content with who they are in Christ. Worthy of your love, worthy to serve you, regardless of what anyone else says. They know they're worthy of your love, worthy to serve you, worthy, Heavenly Father, because of your love, abiding in your love, Father. That's where we're headed in this whole study, Father, and I just pray that those that experience stress, anxiety, and depression will be encouraged by your Spirit to stay with this whole study, so that we can come to abiding in His love, abiding in the environment where there is no stress, there is no depression. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.